Get your Bibles. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. And we are going to warn you, get your Bibles out, keep them out, because you're going to turn to a lot of scripture tonight. I'm going to keep your Bible busy tonight. And we're going to talk about saints and angels tonight, amongst other things, but that's what I'm titling this. And you'll see where we're headed in just a moment here. But Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. Kirsten, you can get up and walk across. I'm not going to pray. All right. You're okay. You're not going to bother me. It's your mother that sometimes bothers me. You know, she hurt my feelings tonight. Just want you to know, my secretary offended me. I texted her and told her brother Stoltz was ill and that I was going to have to lead singing tonight. And she said, I love my job too much to comment about that. Told her she really knows how to hurt a fella. All right, Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. If I were Donald Trump, I'd say, you're fired, but I won't do that. I don't want to do her work. All right, Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, which art to come, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast reigned. Watch this. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that they shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquakes and great hail. Now, here is an event talking about something going on in heaven at the time. The event isn't what I'm wanting to focus on, but notice the word that there were saints there. Now, our world has a very wrong idea about eternity and heaven. You've noticed in the last many weeks, some of the things you thought were in heaven aren't going to be there, and some of the things you didn't know were going to be there are going to be there, and in a way you didn't quite think about. Most people think that when we die, we become angels. No human can become an angel.
That's right.
No more than a dog can become an elephant. You say, that's ridiculous, preacher. It's just as ridiculous for you to be able to become an angel. It's impossible. Did you know that God never changes? And I'm going to use a word here that I'll explain. He never has ever caused anything to change life forms. In other words, he's never changed a man into an angel or an angel into a man. He's never changed a whale into a bird and a bird into a whale. He's never changed a tree into a giraffe and a giraffe into a tree. You say, why? He doesn't cross those life forms. Biology. Proof there is no evolution. And I think I used this the other night. Did you know you can't give blood to your dog?
Yep.
And your dog can't give blood to you? It's two totally different lives. You can't take horse blood and use it for people or vice versa. Now, I say that to say God doesn't. Now, he performs miracles, but he doesn't perform miracles in the event of changing life forms. That's called reincarnation. God does not reincarnate, or the word carn there means new flesh. Means flesh. So reincarnation means you come back in a different flesh form. And God does not do that. If you're a man, you're a man. If you're a woman, you're a woman. We're not supposed to mess around with it. And no matter what your headset tells you, you're plumbed one way or the other. All right. Now, there are four, and I'm going to use a term here, and please don't hang me for this, but you'll understand where I'm headed with this. There are four main types of beings other than God in heaven. All right. Now, I realize there's animals and other things, but we're talking about, I'm going to talk about people type forms in heaven, but they're not all the same. Okay. They're not different levels of angels. They're not, well, this is a form of an angel. This is a higher form of an angel. This is a higher form. Did you know there are different levels of angels, but they don't change form? Archangels are still angels. They're not a higher form of angel. They just have a higher position. All right. An archangel is still just that, an angel. I'm a man, but I'm a pastor. I'm a man, I'm a husband. I have a higher position than some, like the president. But it doesn't mean that I'm a different kind of human being than he is. Does that make sense to everybody? So there are four basic types of beings in heaven, and I'm going to give you those. Now, again, I realize there's other things in heaven that are alive. I'm not talking about that, and I'm not in reference to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about other beings there in heaven. You have saints, you have angels, you have cherubims, and you have seraphims. Those are the four basic life forms in heaven. All right? We're going to discuss these, but you're going to use your Bible tonight. All right, so get your finger licked up. Finger licking good, amen. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm. First of all, saints are saved people on heaven, in heaven, and on earth. All right, take your Bible, Psalm 37. Saints are people who are saved that are on earth or in heaven. Psalm 37, look at verse number 28. Psalm 37, verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Who are preserved forever?
Christians.
That's eternal security. God hath preserved us. He hath reserved us with salvation. Take your Bible, Psalm 89. And again, I'm not using every verse, but I'm going to give you a good schmantering here so that you under... Yeah, that's a Buckeye term there, schmantering. Psalm 89, look at verse number 5. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the
saints.
The heavens and the saints. Now watch this. For whom in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Wow. So God talks about the saints here. He talks about the saints in heaven, and they're not in New Orleans either. All right, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, or I'm sorry, 116. Not Psalm 119, Psalm 116. I was close, but Psalm 116, look at verse number 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his... Okay, if saints are only in heaven, can they die in heaven?
No.
You can only die when you're on earth. So when a person who is saved dies, God says it's a precious thing in his sight when people die and go to heaven. Last Friday evening, Saturday morning, whatever that transition was for Jamie. Jamie'd only been saved a few weeks, but guess what? It was a precious thing to God, and he was a saint while he was here, and he's a saint now that he's in heaven. Does that make sense to everybody? He didn't become a saint when he died. He was a saint before he died. And by the way, there was a little bit of preciousness of death. If you've watched somebody linger and suffer, when the suffering is ended, generally there's a little, the suffering's over. There's a sweetness about that. Not that you wanted them to leave, not that you wanted them to die, but there's a bit of a sweetness that their pain and suffering's over. They're not going to linger anymore and suffer horribly like that. So God talks about saints. I've got six more verses. Hang on. Turn to the book of Zechariah. All right. Zechariah is near the back of the Old Testament. It's right before the book of Malachi. Go to Matthew and turn back a few pages. You'll find it. All right. Zechariah chapter 14. That's the best way for me to tell you to get there. Zechariah chapter 14. Look at, yes, if you go to Malachi and turn back, or Matthew and turn back a few pages, you'll be about five or six pages away. All right? Zechariah chapter 14. And we're going to look at verse number 5. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Wow. God's talking about saints on earth coming to this place and meeting with the Lord at that point in time. That's, and it's a prophetic verse. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about it, but I just want you to see that. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse number 52. To me, this is one of the most fascinating passages in the Bible. I find this humorous. Matthew 27, look at verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holiest city and appeared unto many. When Jesus resurrected from the dead and that earthquake happened, the Bible says that many of the graves of the Old Testament saints opened up, people sat up, got up and walked into Jerusalem with our Savior. Now, can you imagine somebody that's been dead? You just put them in the grave a couple weeks ago, and they come walking back into town. Then you got great, 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 great grandparents that died, and they come back and you introduce yourself to them. That would be a little creepy. That was a proof that Jesus had resurrected from the dead. But I want you to notice, God called them what?
Saints.
Those are saved people. He couldn't resurrect the lost people because they were suffering in hell. He could bring those that were in Abraham's bosom with him back because they were headed to heaven. And the Bible says they not only sat up in their graves, they got up, came out of the grave, and walked into the city. To me, it is one of the funniest things. By the way, that's why after 2,000 years, people still don't doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Events like that don't just happen and get swept under the rug of history, no matter how many times the government tries to do it. Amen? So, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I got to hurry. I could preach a whole sermon on that passage. I just think that is, to me, one of the funniest passages in the Bible, and one of the most interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse number 33. For God is not the author of confusion,
Amen.
But of peace. As in all churches of the, there's not churches in heaven. Where are the churches at? Here on earth. And it says churches of the saints. Now that's not talking about St. Mary's and St. Michael's and St. John the Baptist Catholic and St. John Bosco and all those others. Amen. It's talking about the churches where saved people are. The right kind of church. All right, take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 8. Last verse on this section that we'll look at. But don't get too relaxed. We're going to look at some more scripture. Revelation chapter 8, look at verse, number 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Notice, you have saints and you have angels. Look at verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire, the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now, notice you have the prayers of the saints going up as incense, but you also have an angel in heaven. So, angels and saints cannot be the same beings. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
No more than Joe Lopez could be a dog. He's been called other animals, but we won't talk about that. But you don't need a pope or a priest or anyone to canonize you to call you a saint.
That's right.
You don't have to have performed miracles to become a saint. You don't have to have done certain things that the Catholic Church says you need to have done to become a saint. The moment you get saved, just like you get called a Christian, God uses the term saint. All right? The Christians were first called Christians in Antioch. All right? That was a New Testament term. Saint is a term that has broadened everything and started way back at creation. So, the moment you get saved, you become a saint. Okay? You can be a saint here. You can be a saint there. And they are different than angels. Everybody got that? All right, here we go. Number 2. Angels are created beings in heaven.
Yes, sir.
Angels are created beings in heaven. Angels are the servants of heaven. They're the messengers. They're the servants. They're the workers of heaven. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Let me show you something here, and then I'm going to get a little deeper in this, so hang on, all right? Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse number 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Watch this. Jesus was not an angel.
Right.
The angels worshiped Jesus. Angels are not above God. They're not above Jesus. Jesus is equal with God and way above the angels. Look at verse 7. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Wow. These angels are spirits that are servants to do what God says do. That's all they are. They are ministering spirits, all right? Now, this is where I'm going to shift gears, and I'm going to come back to this in a second, where we just left off, but I got to go one step farther. The angels that fell in sin with Lucifer are now what we would call demons. The angels that fell with Lucifer are what we would now call demons. All right, take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I do not want to confuse you, but I want you to realize there were angels that sinned. God gave them one chance to decide whether they were going to do it or not. Those that followed Satan, Matthew chapter 25, look at verse number 41. That's not the verse I was looking for. Yes, it is. I was looking at the wrong verse. Look at verse number 41. Then shall they say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Uh-oh. his angels. Whose angels were they?
Devils.
Lucifer. All right. Take your Bible. Turn to Revelation. Turn to Mark chapter 1. We're closer to Mark. Let's turn to Mark first. Mark chapter 1. Look at verse number 34. I love this. I only used one of these. I have about half a dozen of them I was going to use for this, but we don't have time. But look at verse number, let's see here, verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. Now, Peter had a mother-in-law. If he was the first pope was married. Now, first of all, he wasn't the first pope, because the Catholic Church didn't come about for another 300 years. But why do they say that the pope can't be married if the first pope had a mother-in-law? And if he had a mother-in-law without having a wife, he wasn't real smart. All right, now look at verse 31. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto him. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought him unto all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with what? And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many what? And suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. How did these devils know Jesus? They had been in heaven before they were cast out with Lucifer. As you read through the New Testament, through the Gospels, you'll find out often when Jesus would, demons were cast out, they would fear him because they knew him. There was times he would say, "Don't even call me by my name, even though you know who I am." He didn't want to be associated with them because of their sin and their rebellion. Now, I want you to realize, even the demons obeyed him because they knew who he was and they knew his power. All right? Now, take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Everybody doing all right? Everybody still awake and everybody still alive? All right? Revelation chapter 12, look at verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against and his angels. Now, notice, Michael is one of the archangels. Originally, you had three archangels: Michael, Gabriel, and
Lucifer.
One was cast out, and their angels and his angels went with him. So there's only 2/3 of the angels, supposedly. I don't know if it was exactly 1/3, but we know that Lucifer's angels followed him. Michael has a group of angels he oversees. Gabriel has a group of angels he oversees. And Lucifer had a group. Lucifer and his group of angels kicked out, thrown to hell. Now Lucifer and the angels are loose on earth and tormenting people and stuff. And we'll get into that in just a moment here. But Michael now in Revelation chapter 12 is doing battle against Lucifer and his angels and Michael and his angels. That's what the word dragon is, and we'll see that here in just a moment. Look at verse number 8. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Wow. Notice that the devil's angels were cast into the earth with him. All right? That's, where is hell at? It's in the heart of the earth. All right? So, somebody recently, a couple weeks ago, asked me this question. Preacher, can Christians be possessed by demons? Answer, no. Totally impossible. See, a demon can only enter a person through the spirit, through the soul, if the spirit is dead.
Once a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside them.
That's right.
And light cannot commune with darkness. Amen. Neither the Holy Spirit with Belial, the Bible says. What hath concourse God with Belial or Satan or evil force? The Holy Spirit of God is light in the Christian. It immediately repels from being captured by a demon. Now, just like a Christian can be empowered by the Holy Spirit because they yield to the Holy Spirit, if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to use you, you can be bothered by demons. I believe that is true. But it does not mean they've moved inside of you. All right? Does that make sense? They cannot possess your person. I've been around demon-possessed people. I've seen it about 3 or 4 times in my life, and it's the creepiest stuff you ever want to be around. And believe me, it's real. it's creepier than you can even imagine. I have seen all kinds of weird things. I've seen people picked up and thrown across rooms by demons. I've heard 5 and 6 and 7 different voices come out of one person's body all at the same time. It will raise the hair on your neck like you never have seen before. It is creepy stuff. Say, preacher, what'd you do? We got out of there as fast as we could. That is nasty stuff. It is nothing to play with. It is real stuff. That's one reason I'm not a big avid lover of Halloween. It's the devil's Halloween. Isn't it amazing? You put a hunting show on, it's rated PG-13 because of killing. But you look at the average commercial for the average Hollywood film for Halloween, and there's zombies and people being killed and their heads being hacked off and blown up with guns and blood everywhere. And boy, that's cool stuff. You got to let your kids watch this kind of stuff. I don't understand that. I really don't get that. So the angels that fell with Satan are the demons, all right? Now, man was created a little lower than the angels. Turn to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. I'm going to show you what that word means or what this means here in just a second. Psalm 8. Look at verse number... verse number 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and all and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passed through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Notice, God gave man dominion over the earth, but he made us a little lower than the angels. We have a little less power physically, a little less power in other areas that we know not. We're just a little lower than the angels. Now, our sin caused us to make it that much lower. But we were created a little lower than the angels. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Told you, don't take your glasses off yet. Right, April? They're on top of your head. Hebrews chapter 2. What was that? I know you were. That's why I told you where they were. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse number 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? God's quoting Psalm 8 in Hebrews 2. Thou madest him a little lower than the angel. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that was not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Skip down to verse number 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham.
I want you to notice something. That's talking, the second part there is talking about Jesus. He didn't come to earth and take on the form of an angel. He took on the form of man.
Yes.
Jesus was not an angel. He was the God man. He didn't take on the form of an angel. He took on the seed of Abraham, or a man. All right? And the first part there in Hebrews 2 is quoting Psalm 8. God put all of this, God, if you went back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, God put man in the Garden of Eden and gave him dominion over the earth. Dominance. Did you know it's not a new thing for man to be able to control the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth? Do you know, I believe personally that we have been taming wild animals and controlling wild animals for millenniums. But you see it, what you used to see at SeaWorld with the killer whales and the dolphins and all the different animal shows they have with seals and seal lions. Do you know that God taught man how to do that back in the Garden of Eden? God gave man the ability to do that. They've been doing it. You go back into the Egyptian days, back in a couple thousand years B.C., and they had been doing it. It is nothing new. We think we're so smart. We've been doing it. Man's been doing it for a long time. Now, people, and I'm not going to make you turn to all these verses. We don't have time because I have two more points that I got to get to. But I'm going to run through and give you a list of verses. If you want to write them down, you can. People and angels often interacted and spoke with one another. I am in no way going to give you every case of this. But throughout the Bible, men and angels spoke to one another, knowing they were speaking to angels. All right? You have Balaam, when his donkey spoke, and the donkey wouldn't go because the angel was standing there with a flaming sword. Remember that? Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah was the biological uncle to Jesus. It was Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, basically. And you'll find out, he said he didn't believe that the Messiah was going to be born, and he went mute. He wasn't able to speak. And God says, when you can speak again, and the angel came and told Zechariah this. And if you read that passage in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 20, and then 26 through 38, you find out the angel came back and said, I told you, now you can talk. They were speaking to one another. They were hearing each other. The angels announced Jesus' birth in Luke 2. They came to the shepherds, biding in the fields, watching their flocks by night, and said, behold, the star, go find out. He's in Bethlehem. The angels were standing beside Peter, James, and John, the disciples, when Jesus, not after the resurrection, but when he went back to heaven in Acts chapter 1. Why stand you here gazing? It was two men in white apparel. They were angels, all right? The angels told the ladies that Jesus had risen from the dead when they went to the tomb in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. Peter, when he was in prison, he was about to get his head cut off. And while he was in prison, thought he was dreaming. In Acts chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, the Bible says an angel came and got him and took him, broke his bonds, and walked him out of jail. And Peter was talking to him. Now, I'm going to make a statement. Did you know, not one place in Scripture does it ever say an angel has wings? Not once. Brother Joe, if Brother June had big white wings on and a white robe, and he was shining bright as the sun and came and talked to you, that would have freaked you out a little bit, wouldn't it? Probably wouldn't even stand there and talk to him, would you? Angels were made a little lower than, or we were made just a little lower than the angels. I personally believe angels have zero wings.
There's nowhere in Scripture to indicate, I'm sorry, I'm not talking to some dude with wings on. Not gonna happen. You won't find one place in the Bible that says any angel ever had wings. But you find many places where people talk to angels. Bible even says we entertain angels unaware. Well, if angels have wings, guess what? We're going to know it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We interact with angels and don't even know it at times. God says that you entertain angels unaware. Now,
look at one more verse here. Angels don't know everything. Look at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Wow, time's flying. I gotta hurry. Mark chapter 13, look at verse number 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. He's talking about the rapture here. Notice it says no man knows, the angels don't know, and honestly, even Jesus doesn't know. Only God the Father knows when the rapture is going to take place. The angels do not know. They're just waiting for the command. All right? They don't know everything. They're not God. All right? So, we know, first of all, that all Christians are called what on earth and in heaven? Saints. All right? Whew, that was weak. What are we called? There you go. Angels are created beings in heaven. There are also fallen ones that we now call what?
Demons.
All right? And people often interacted. Man was made a little lower than the angels. And I'm going to hurry with these last two. There's something in the Bible called cherubims. All right? There's two words used. There's one cherub, which is one. Cherubims, which is more than one. All right? That's the difference in those words. A cherub or a cherubim are the same thing. Okay? Those two words are the same. Now, cherubims are also in heaven. They were used on earth as well. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to show you what they're used for and what they are. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse number 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out man, and he placed at the east end of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So the cherubims were put at the entrance of the Garden of Eden to keep man out, and they were guarding the tree of life. All right? Look at Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. Look at verse number... This is in reference to the tabernacle that was used in the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Look at verse number 17. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work thou shalt make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look at one another toward the mercy seat. And their faces shall of the cherubims be. Now, these cherubims have 2 wings.
Oops, I turned it off, not on. These cherubims were placed, they were made out of pure gold, on the mercy seat, on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. That one at this end, one at this end. The Bible says that their wings went this way, facing the mercy seat, covering their, but their faces were looking at each other, and their wings went in. They only had two wings. But their wings were long enough. Mom owes me a pizza. Wiley, did you call her so I could get a pizza? Thank you. All right. Now, but their wings went in towards the mercy seat, and they were looking at each other. They were guarding the mercy seat, just as they guarded the entrance of the Garden of Eden. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 3. I've got to hurry. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, look at verse number 10. By the way, cherubims have wings. Angels do not. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, look at verse number 10. And in the most holy house he made two cherubims of image work, and overlaid them with gold, and the wings of the cherubims were 20 cubits long. All right, that's 30 feet. Those big ones. One wing of the one cherub was 5 cubits, reaching to the wall of the house. The other wing was likewise 5 cubits, reaching to the wing of the other cherub. One wing of the other cherub was 5 cubits, reaching to the wall in the house, and the other wing was 5 cubits, also joining the wing of the other cherub. I'm going to stop right there, and it's talking about when they built the temple in the Holy of Holies. There in the temple, they had two cherubims, doing the same for the mercy seat there in the temple made in Jerusalem there. So they were guarding beings. They were there to guard. They have two wings each. I'm going to make a statement here. They're not naked little babies made out of concrete that you put in your yard either. All right? I don't believe God did that. All right? Cherubims were guardian-type angels that literally guarded. Now, they're not your guardian angel, but they were used to guard, to protect, to oversee something so that there was not a trespass against it. All right? Lastly, I'll hurry with this. you ready? Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah. Last time you have to use your Bible tonight, all right? Some of you used your Bible more tonight than you have in the last 6 weeks. Right, April? All right. The next being are seraphims. All right? Seraphims. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. Look at verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne in high, lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Where is that at? That's in heaven. Okay? God sitting on the throne in heaven. Above it stood the seraphims, plural. Each one, it doesn't tell us how many. It just says there was more than one. Each one had 6 wings. With twain, he covered his face. And with twain, he covered his feet. And with twain, he did fly. Now, I don't know about you, but if he's covering his face and covering his feet, I don't know how he knows where he's flying. But he's doing it, amen? And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin, thy sins purged. Now, look at me. These are 6-winged creatures that fly above the throne of God. They do what God says. And if there's any holy, holy, holy Lord God of Almighty in heaven, it's done by the seraphims. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, you'll see that there are things there that cry day and night, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." That's not us chanting it for eternity. That's the jobs of the seraphims. They have six wings. They're able to fly. And when they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," as they fly around the throne of God. That is the job of the seraphims. Obviously, one was asked to go do a duty for God himself, take a live coal off the altar, placed it on the lips of Isaiah, because he had seen the Lord in a, we'll use the word vision, at that time. And that was to purge him, to cleanse him, so that he would be clean from having seen what he had seen. All right? There are four basic beings in heaven. You have the cherubims, you have the seraphims, you have angels, and you have saints or man. All right? It's not you become a saint because you're like Mother Teresa and give up everything and go to wherever she was at, India or Calcutta or wherever she was, and serve, and she had miracles, and she did so much good that she has to become a saint. By the way, the Bible talks about us not worshiping saints. Do you know we're not supposed to worship man? Bible also says we're not supposed to worship angels. We're not supposed to. The Catholic Church goes against the Word of God in the worship of saints. Yes. Period. When they lift Mary above God and above Jesus, they're wrong.
Yes.
I didn't say it, God did. Amen. They're worshiping a saint. Well, if you pray through Mother Mary, Jesus will have to listen to her because that's his mother. So you'll have a better chance of getting what you want if you pray through Mary. Well, guess what? Jesus didn't have to listen to her because he created her. I love my mama. I'm 49 years old. Do you know I don't have to obey my mother? Jesus created Mary. Now, I say that to say this. We are saints. Angels are different, but angels nowhere in Scripture have wings. By the way, I've heard preachers say that when we die, we're all going to be in heaven and we're all going to be 33-year-old men. I know this. In Scripture, you won't find any female angels. I don't know if there's female angels or not. The only time an angel's ever mentioned in Scripture, it's always he. But that doesn't mean everybody in heaven are all men. That's where some of these nut job preachers get off and, well, that means we're all good. Well, number one, we don't become angels. And we shall be known as we are known here on earth. Guess what? You women aren't known as men. Well, Hitler might be. Let's face it. The men and angels are different. Human, but we know that men and angels have interacted. They've talked with one another. Angels don't have wings. Cherubims and seraphims have wings. Angels do not. Sorry to disappoint you. And the little naked concrete babies in the front yard aren't cherubims either. Little babies that die don't become cherubs that fly to heaven with wings. They're human beings that go to heaven like any other person that dies. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. It means every aborted baby went to heaven the same way. Praise the Lord. Four types of beings in heaven. Let's all stand.